Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report, and another wild day in the markets, especially for commodities. We are chatting with Joel Elkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show, also editor of the Pre-Market Prep website, which we will link to below this interview. And Joel, I feel like we need to start off with commodities again, because boy, oh boy, you look at precious metals, those are screaming higher today. Gold is up almost $60 on the trading over $2,050. Silver is up over a dollar today. That is continuing to outperform gold. It's just insane to see some of these moves. Oil is up again today, closing in on 130 again per barrel for crude. Let's start with oil, because the U.S. just said that they are banning oil imports from Russia. I don't think this is too much of a surprise, but it really does speak to the bigger picture here of more, I guess, supply chain disruption and more sanctions coming into Russia, but that war continuing. Joel, what's your takeaway from the wild oil market and now the U.S. not accepting Russian imports?
Yeah, I mean, good afternoon, guys. Thanks for having me. I guess you could say the trend is your friend. And these are just in a strong parabolic uptrend. The demand for oil with, you know, the opening of the U.S. economy is increasing. And you have less supply now coming out of Russia. So, you know, the move in the crude is not that, you know, surprising. The move in, you know, gold, the momentum is caught, also silver. But what just, you know, as I'm standing here, blinded by the green on my screen is, you know, the market's interpretation of everything that's going on. I mean, higher inflation, higher commodity prices, all that stuff doesn't bode well for the market. But the market doesn't give a hoot. And we got one hell of a rally going on our hands. So very few times you come on the show, I'll be at a loss for words, folks, but I'm at a loss for words here.
Well, Joel, a lot of people are saying this is the politics of pipelines, and that, you know, one of the first things the Biden administration did was to kill the Keystone pipeline. But yesterday, Russia came out and said they may cut off the Nord Stream 1 pipeline, which is currently supplying that gas to Europe. And there's already been talks for the last 2 weeks about blocking the completion of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. So a lot of this ties into the U.S. dollar and the petrodollar and the whole system of how the world operates as far as how they pay for oil and dollars. Do you think we're seeing a complete paradigm shift here as far as these pipeline politics, and may this lead to a continued shock to the energy space for further than just the war?
Well, I mean, you know, there's been the whole ESG movement in our country, and that's led to, you know, the shutdown of the Keystone pipeline. You know, there's been an incremental shift in our company away from, you know, the fossil fuels and into, you know, electric vehicles and whatnot. And maybe this is just pushing the envelope, you know, maybe what's happened, you know, with the war breaking out, invasion of Ukraine, that, you know, enough is enough. And we were kind of tiptoeing our way to, you know, a more green economy. This is certainly going to, you know, in the short term, we got to take care of our, you know, our oil needs. But maybe this is just like a general, I agree with you, just a generational shift in energy. And I certainly don't think that, you know, when you look at it from Russia's standpoint, this is an economic war. And I think that they really thought it was going to be over by now, and that the U.S. wouldn't go to these kind of lengths geopolitically and also with the oil to, you know, to battle them. So that's the only reason. I can see oil coming off hard now. So I don't know if they're getting some other countries to increase their supply. I mean, you got to think they're greasing those pumps in Saudi Arabia and all these other places and just getting it out as fast as they can. So we might have something breaking on crude here, because it just lost like $6. So just a headline driven market. Ukraine at 12:15, Ukraine said it's no longer insisting on NATO membership. So there you go. There's some breaking news. That's what just moved the market there in the last few minutes. So maybe there's some kind of negotiated settlement here, folks. I took political science in college, but they never taught me this stuff.
Joel, this is just wild what we're seeing. And I think one of the things that Chad was even kind of getting to, and one thing that we keep on hearing, is that, is the world different when it comes to commodities, or will it be different at the end of this? Will we have the trade lines that we used to? Is the world going to be forever fractured after this? I know it's hard to say, but the market volatility is telling us that maybe it will, but then it flips back and says maybe it won't. What's your takeaway from the potential that this could have globally moving forward?
It already is, you know? We don't have to ask that question. I mean, you know, there's disruption in the world order, and it's here to stay. I mean, COVID disrupted the world in one way. This is disrupting the world in another way. And, you know, if there's one thing that you have to keep in mind, you know, when you look at like the United States, yeah, they want to, Russia wants to get rid of us. China wants to get rid of us. But, I mean, who buys all their stuff? You know, we're a major trade partner, right? So you can't, you know, maybe their longer-term plans, China's longer-term plans are to replace the United States. But, you know, in the interim, you know, we're mass consumers and also, you know, mass producers of materials that they want. So, yeah, there's a big disruption here, but, wow. This is one hell of a rally here, folks. I think that Ukraine not insisting on NATO, you know, if there is a settlement to this, less lives being lost, then, you know, who knows how high this market can go? Could go back to all-time highs. Who knows?
Yeah, Joel, I think you're right, because even gold is cooling off and a couple other commodities are cooling off as we speak. Gold was up around 2072 just 20 minutes ago, and now it's down in the 2030s. So I think that news about Ukraine not wanting to be in NATO is a big driver today. So we may see some de-escalation, which would be great for everybody, great for the planet, and we would maybe see some cooling off in these. But I wonder how much of this move in commodities, which had already started long before Ukraine, is still that inflationary pressure, because let's not forget inflation's still running over 7.5%. Some people think 7.8% is what we're going to see for February. And let's not also forget that despite all this geopolitical theater, we still have rate hikes starting in a week or two from the Fed. What's that going to do when they start hiking rates? So I wonder how much of this will come off from the war premium and how much is still inflationary. How much do you think that's still part of this narrative?
Man, you guys are a couple smart cookies there, man. You guys are throwing some tough questions at me. And the best answer I can give you is that the war is going to get, what's going on right now is going to give the Fed an excuse to go a little lighter on the gas pedal, right? Because it is affecting the economy. The last thing they want is, to raise rates too fast, right, and send it into a recession. So I never thought we were going to do 8 or 9 rate hikes. I never thought. I thought it was just going to be a slow incremental rise. And then you have this geopolitical situation. So I just think things are going to be, you know, if this war can come to an end, or at least some kind of negotiated settlement, then, you know, we'll raise rates 1, 2, 3, 4 times. We'll get inflation a little bit more under control. That's like the best answer. I just like the 8, 9, 10, you know, rate hike thing is off the table now. They already backed off from 0.5 to 0.25. I mean, that's it. I think it gives the Fed excuse to be a little easier on the rate increases.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to hear what the Fed has to say at their upcoming meeting when they do hike rates. But now I think we all just accept that it's going to be a 25 basis point hike. Joel, when it comes to the U.S. equity markets and this environment of fear that has come into the markets, look, something like the S&P is already down 12% just for this year, reached its high, I think, the second day of trading in this year, and has pretty steadily been falling. Are we at risk here of just a further breakdown, moving into a bear market relatively soon? Or do days like today, where the market seems to be volatile but also is grasping at some positive levels, does this give you faith that, you know what, maybe these markets and investors are still willing to generally buy the dip as long as it's not in free fall?
Yeah, well, depends on what side of bed I wake up in the morning. It's easy to think, hey, you know, the world's coming to an end, right? World War III. You know, on the other hand, you know, you look at these kind of opportunities and, you know, what were people thinking in March of 20? This is the end of the world as we know it, right? And that turned out to be, you know, one of the greatest buying opportunities of a lifetime, right? So when you go back in history and look at, you know, that 4,100 low that we made last Thursday or two Thursdays ago and say, hey, you know, that was 4,100 is the new 2,200. And it's impossible to predict that. But I mean, just the resiliency of this market is just, it's unbelievable. Now, you also have to keep in mind that some of the greatest rallies, bull rallies, happen in bear markets. So it's just like, it's a one-day wonder. Well, who even knows where we're going to end up today. But for me to be more comfortable to say, hey, we're not going into a bear market, well, you know, everyone has a different measurement because there's a lot of stocks that have been annihilated and that are already in bear markets that are down 75-80%. If anything, I don't care. I would be more comfortable if we didn't rip like this 2-3 days in a row and we calmed down, right? And the volatility came down, then I'd be more comfortable calling a bottom here. But there's a lot of money out there. There's a lot of money on the sidelines. Money maybe that's coming out of Europe now, maybe coming over the United States. A lot of different factors going on. But what I'd like to see, you know, before I say we got a major bottom, a 2020-like bottom, is if the volatility can come out of this market a little bit. And they're not coming out of it as we speak. But that's what this market needs. It needs to calm down, Brown.
So, Joel, what are you going to be watching then? It seems like there are just so many aspects of this market that we can talk about that are moving all over the map. Some have definitely established trends to the upside, like the commodities and the precious metals. Others are choppy but have a downward bias, like more of the risk-on plays. What do you think is most important to be watching for investors as we move through this just wild time?
If I was long oil stocks, and I would just be keeping an eye on them. And I'd be really ready to hit the exit button. But I might have said that at 105, 110, 115, 120. So I'd really, if you got in late to the party, I would just keep an eye on that. Who knows how, you know, when and if the crude will turn. I'd be very careful on that. I would just look at where you're at in your portfolio. I mean, if you were freaking out, you know, over the last couple of weeks, you know, use days like this, you know, pockets of strength maybe to lighten up a little bit. And don't know if the growth trade is coming back anytime soon. But, the market until we can show some stability, until the geopolitical situation is calmed up, I'd be more prone to kind of lightening up on rallies and being very careful on dips until this situation's resolved.
All right, Joel, we'll wrap it up here. I don't really know what else to say about these markets other than, boy, oh boy, it's a wild year so far. And this war has definitely thrown some markets into extreme natures, but it has also solidified some of these momentum trades that, as much as we talk about market moves, traders are looking for momentum trades, and it's a very different momentum play this year as it was compared to last year so far. Joel, thank you, as always, for your time, buddy. We'll chat next week, and boy, oh boy, who knows what we'll be talking about then.
All right, thank you, guys. Sorry I didn't have the old answers to the world, but it's a tough day.